Time for us to find out about the latest trending stories with Barbara Friedman, our online guru and editor at Prime Media. How are you, Barbara?
Yeah, so level one lockdown is the trending story clearly across all platforms and Twitter. And I'm not going to get into detail because I think it's been spoken about at length.
Yes.
So I'm just going to quote one tweet from Vusi Tembakwaya, who's a motivational speaker and entrepreneur. You've had him on your show.
Yeah.
Because I just thought it was amusing. I thought we could have a laugh. He said, "What happens between midnight and 4 a.m. that it requires a curfew? Are people flying around in brooms or something?" And although I don't think it's a problem if you're flying around on a broom, I think I wish I could. I just thought it was funny, and a lot of people liked it and laughed and made comments. And I just thought, you know, that kind of sums up the sort of craziness of that curfew, or am I missing something?
Listen, they are the crazies as well, right? So cigarettes and you name it. So no surprises.
So then the second story was actually published in the Guardian newspaper online, and it comes from a survey that was commissioned by the Conference on Jewish Material Claims Against Germany. It's a claims conference. And the survey basically interviewed or collected data from 1,000 interviews nationwide in America and 200 interviews with adults, young adults between 18 and 39, randomly selected. And the results were that almost two-thirds of these U.S. young adults were unaware that 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust. And in fact, almost half of them could not name a single concentration camp or ghetto established during the Second World War. Now, I'm raising that because I think history is so important. It says so much about, you know, our past and our future and our present. And I think if issues like that are actually, you know, a lot of people saying it's a hoax, it's not true, it's a myth, all those old denialist arguments. And I just wanted to raise that because when I was a kid, it was such a big issue, and there were so many movies and documentaries about it. Yeah. So I just wanted to bring that to people's attention.
I think that's good.
And then finally, I'm going to give a little update on what happened yesterday with the city stakeholder meeting about Kataza and baboon management, because I know a lot of Cape Talkers have been very interested to know what happened. So the meeting, I'm trying to get clarity on how this meeting was set up, who was invited, and how the stakeholders were decided upon by the city. And I haven't got clarity on that yet. But in the meeting, which I tried to attend, but I was booted out of because Felicity Purchase and her people said that they couldn't have more than 100 people in the Zoom meeting. I mean, there are ways to add on people. I mean, our own staff meetings are far bigger than that. But anyway, whether that was just them not understanding how it worked or whether they decided they want to keep it small, I don't know. So the stakeholders, we were also told in the meeting that people were invited, but that you could also sign up if you were interested, which leads me to believe that it was an open meeting. So we're hoping that they're going to release a recording of the video or the audio of the meeting. I was sent the audio of most of it, so I actually did listen. And I just want to make a couple of points. I think it's important that, you know, we all want the same outcome for baboons and other wildlife in areas like Cape Town. We all want them to live wild and free. We all want them to be preserved. We all want a good outcome. But what I felt was happening in the meeting, for those that are interested, is I felt certain people from the city and their representatives in the research and the baboon management were lumping all activists – sorry, I don't want to take too long – were lumping all activists, they called them activists, into one group, which included those people who are not – part of the activist groups who go and feed baboons or feed Kataza or plot and plan to have him taken back to Komaki. These are not what the activists on the ground want. It's not what anyone wants. No one wants to domesticate baboons. No one wants to have them in the towns. No one wants them to live anything but wild and free. No one encourages feeding them who are legitimate activists. So I felt that was a disingenuous comment that was made on the city's part, that all activists, which they sounded quite demeaning about, were trying to put a target on these baboons' heads and almost resulting in them being killed, because now we were all domesticating them and inviting them for lunch, essentially. So I just wanted to say there were a lot of points that came out where I felt the voices were not being heard. I mean, they were not hearing each other. Let's put it that way. Let me just try and conclude and say, I think there's a bigger picture here. Kataza, this is not about Kataza. This is about baboons. It's about the environment. And it's about people trying to hear each other and come together in a conversation where you have different positions.
I agree.
The, the data, I just want to say one more point, the data that they rely on, the data that they rely on to make decisions about which baboons are killed, which ones are relocated. I don't have a problem with relocating baboons if you do it properly. But the data is coming allegedly, or it seems, from the HWS site, which has now been changed, from a hotline. So a resident of Kormaki will phone in and say, this baboon raided my bin. Now that baboon is on, has got a rap sheet. And my question, I'm not saying this is fact. My question to them is, how do you verify which baboon it was? And do you rely entirely for your data on the hotline from residents? Is that your...
I'll tell you what my take is on this. Like I said, I'm no bunny hugger. But I do care for animals and I care for life. Right. And when we spoke to the expert... you know, people who obviously deal with this on a daily basis. He said you can't just move a baboon. That baboon comes with a social structure. And it is very irresponsible to just move that baboon. And, of course, baboons will try and make their way back to just get back the social structure that they've been ripped away from.
A baboon alone is not a baboon, he said to you.
Yes, indeed. And then...
And I want to just... Yeah.
Just hold on. 2 seconds.
Say they denied that. They actually say that you shouldn't have spoken to him because the Gombe example does not relate to the 5 million people living in Cape Town. I was emailed by... Kay Montgomery, who calls herself a journalist on Twitter, so I assume she is one, and she and the baboon technical team said that we had no right to actually compare the Gombe example with the 5 million people in Cape Town.
No one spoke about the Gombe example. I think we were talking about baboons in general.
Email to me, so
I would love to get that technical team on my show at some stage, and we can have that discussion. And the other thing is, and what I liked is... The doctor said, well, we started finding people who encouraged baboons to get in. And so, number one, if the city does not have bins that are baboon-proof, whose problem is that?
Keen, I have to make one final point on that because I want you to make it. In the meeting yesterday, Felicity Purchase, Julia Wood, and others – said this, and I can send you the recording, that in response to your very question by activists, they said there is no point in putting in bylaws, waste management bylaws. There is no point in actually trying to legalize and enforce changes of human behavior when it comes to baboons, because humans do not change their behavior easily. And I found that an incredibly telling statement. So don't even try to put the responsibility on those that choose to live in baboon dense areas, rather say, well, then they get the baboons get a rap sheet and the baboons take the blame.
Guess what, I
find that very interesting that they don't even think we should bother with baboon with bins or bylaws.
Who's this, Julia Wood?
Felicity Purchase and others.
Okay, we'll get them on the show. We'll get them on the show tomorrow.
I heard them say it.
We'll get them on the show tomorrow. I want to know exactly. Okay, cool. Listen, my personal view.
They have a right to their opinion.
No, they do. And I also think.
They have a right to mine.
Yes, you do. And at the end of the day, you need to do what's in the best interest of everybody. And, you know.
Equally.
Yes, once again, baboon proof your home. You moved into their territory. The city allowed people to build in those areas, and
that was raised yesterday. You know, it was saying, can't you sort of do something where you sort of, you know?
And what did they say?
They're saying it's not. Okay. They actually
send me the audio.
Prices. I've got bits and pieces of it, and I will send it to you, and you can listen.
Okay.
So see what you think.
And they mentioned us specifically in the interview.
No, they didn't, but they said they just responded to people who raised issues about, that especially William, the doctor from the Jane Goodall Institute, he has, you know, that has made waves in Cape Town, you know, from your interview. And so that was mentioned, and then, you know, their issue is it's a very different situation. I mean, I received an email from Kay Montgomery where she also quotes the baboon technical team, which specifically says that you and I had this discussion and that also it is absolutely wrong to have quoted that Gombe example, which is 40 houses in a national park, when you're talking about 5 million people in the city of Cape Town, even though in my understanding most of the 5 million never see a baboon.
Okay. But I mean, that's nonsense, quite frankly.
I don't know. They have a right to their view, and I hope they'll come on and explain it.
I would love Waleed. is running the show this week, so Waleed is already writing feverishly, getting Kay Montgomery on the show tomorrow to talk to us. Anyway, Barbara, thank you.